Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, that day is finally here, the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. It is Thursday, June 27th, 2013, and we are live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, broadcasting from the Tulsa Prophetic Forum here. Dr. Price, can you hear me in the meeting room?
I can hear you in the meeting room, and we're getting ready to let them hear you in the meeting room as well. I want to welcome you all to my show. It's Thursday. Happy Thursday. And listen, this is a great show because I have a number of you here with me in Tulsa, so I don't have to say wish you were here and that I want to hug your neck. But to those of you who are on the phone, I want to say welcome, and we here at the forum want to say hello. Come on, guys.
When you are yourself, so I don't want to hold you back.
But don't hold me back, girl. Hold on from it, but don't hold me back.
Well, you keep doing your thing, Dr. Price, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you teach, and if you're in a hot moment at the end of our hour, I will just wrap it up with our listeners, and you just keep on going.
But you know, I'm geared up for that. But thank you all. So you know we won't be taking calls today. But get excited because at least a portion of the teaching will be on the internet. So because you called in, you will get a chance to go back and listen to some of this. Hallelujah. All right, team, ready to go back? Hallelujah. Okay, so now we were reading. So Daniel got the test. So we said Daniel was tested 10 days. 10 days he had to prove that he was not going to let Babylon's culture infection. He said, I came here as a prophet of Yahweh, and if I'm going to be here, I'm going to serve and manifest Yahweh, his covenant God. So, tested him for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vessels. You know, the saints are fond of saying we can have a little wine. Isn't that wonderful? But every spirit you take in diminishes your power. So it's a matter of how strong you want to be. Not how wrong you're trying not to be. Now, and as for these young men, God rewarded them. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding of all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the day, that's the 3 years, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them what? Them who? And? And Daniel continued until the first year of who? Cyrus who? So King Cyrus. Daniel goes in as a kid, goes through Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, goes through the Medes and the Persians, goes all the way out to Cyrus. That's a long career. Because you know God has so few good folks, he won't let it go. athletic. Now, Daniel had a turbulent career. You don't understand it, you don't read it, but he had a very turbulent career. Because in Daniel's career, when the king didn't want Yahweh's voice, he had to receive it that way. That is why when Belshazzar and his party did the whole thing for God comes to mold, what do you do? God sent a hand. Many, many times when you bought it. What did he say? He had to go, they didn't even know how to read it. They said, my Daniel, why? He wasn't all that thing on. So that man, your teacher, your father, you should be going to him.
Yeah.
So just because you have to sit in the background doesn't mean you are duty. Okay? God still gonna move. I said, God still gonna move.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, he's never been about on grace. God's got a bound no more. So your daddy comes to heaven. You've been waiting in the bound. I said, now I'm walking. Now, Daniel, not only could he know all the rich, but then he obviously knew Father. Because the king knows a lot of languages. Why couldn't he read that? And obviously was not in his native tongue, and he's the king of how many nations? And he don't know a few words, but God introduced a new language. And you had to go to God's prophet to get the interpretation. All the magicians come in. We all know that's not all of them. All the soothsayers, astrologer, I don't know. That's something new. Yeah, it's new. That's why you don't know. So the king, he has a bit enough to be scared. I'd be scared too. A man come out of nowhere. I was writing on my wall. I know Jesus, and I'd be scared. I'm like, just hold it. Could you just put it in an email all yesterday? So all of the supernatural powers in the land couldn't read the writing.
Yeah.
On the wall. Oh, y'all catch that. All of the supernatural powers in the land couldn't read the writing on the wall. All of the supernatural powers in the land couldn't read the writing on the wall. But Daniel, because he didn't allow himself to get infected by the culture. Said, I'm not eating the king's delicacies. I'm not going to eat Babylon's food. I love the king, and I'll work for the king, but I'm not going to feast on it. And because you set yourself separate from the culture, God empowered him. And the king knew he did it. You understand that when we have the fire, the furnace, the fiery furnace, Daniel's not there. Just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He already found out. Daniel be mad. I ain't messing with him. Let me get the little kids. So he went after the little kids, thinking surely Yahweh couldn't think the same way about the little kids as he did about the big brother. And so he already knows. Nebuchadnezzar knows. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. First of all, Daniel gets the job. Then God gives the head of state a dream. A dream that he can't interpret. He knows how. Come on, people. He knows how. And he says, listen, I need y'all to tell me the interpretation of the dream. And they come back, oh, God, the dream. We'll tell you before we got this. No, I ain't telling you the dream. I'm going to tell you the dream, because if I don't tell you the dream, then I'll know whether or not you have a real interpretation.
Yeah.
And he began to kill his supernatural staff and to slaughter them. And he's slaughtering them until they get to Daniel. And God is like, I did all of this because I'm going to promote you. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
God's like, and I don't care how many souls I got to sacrifice to get you where I want you to be.
Jesus!
Woo. That's
what
he said. because somebody was occupying that place. So God's body smell starts to manifest till he gets to Daniel. Daniel said, wait a minute, why is the king? Because see, Daniel said, I don't understand. I thought we were right. Why is the king commanding so urgent? And so they said, listen, he had this dream. You know how it is when he gets these dreams? Had this dream, he can't figure out what it is. He asked every, all of the soothsayers, the magician, they couldn't tell him. And he's asking them something ridiculous. They didn't know to say, king, no king ever asked this about himself. King never tells him, like, I don't care. You want to stay on staff here? You better tell me what I want to know. The whole of us. See, some of y'all, I'm going to get in the marketplace. I want to get them. You're useless. You're useless to what God said, because you want to get in there for your agenda, but God has an agenda. God has an agenda, and it's not yours. So Daniel said, well, listen, tell them to stop killing people, you know? Come hold up a few minutes. Give us a brief. We're going to go, and we're going to talk to the God we serve. And we're going to find out what this thing is all about. And because Daniel was on God's side, on God's team, in God's court, at God's table, in God's chamber, he got the information. Now, there was a lot of Israelites there. And I'm sure they weren't the only ones that were working in that training class. But Daniel distinguished himself by being independent of the culture. I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to condemn them. I'm not going to criticize them. I'm not doing all of that, but hey, that's not me. What is your prophetic identity? What is your apostolic identity? Is it blended? Do you have a fusion identity? Paul, Babylon? Paul, Jesus? Because that's how much, by the degree of cultural influence you have and infection you have, that's the measure of prophetic power and prowess you have. So Daniel goes, and he and the three guys, they pray. My God, you did not save us to kill us. God gives them the dream. Gives them the dream and the revelation. And we're not talking about a little 30-second snap here. He's got, this boy had an all-night drama. You know, it's like an epic movie. Daniel goes, says, we got it. Goes there. Now, here's God. God is so cool. By the time God brings Daniel on board, those people are scared for their lives. The magician, soothsayer, they're scared for their lives. They're terrified. So they don't care who rescued them. Because the cook saved my life. I don't care who you do. So the boy, Pippi, I don't care. I'm not a They don't know who I'm going for dinner tonight. Because the sword is going out of the land. And so, then he says, he goes and he tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream. And then he tells him the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar said, now that's a 10 times better act. Because if you could tell me what happened in my subconscious mind, you'd be mad. I'm going to make you the head of this thing. Because that, by the way, is a job opening. Hallelujah. And so he put the last word, and he put it over all of everyone, every magician, every soothsayer, every. And Daniel decided how bad that thing was going to be against God, how bad it was going to be against his people, and how it was going to go. God rules in the kingdom of man. And God likes context. See, we are so caught up with Jesus being our lowly Savior. He's been our lowly Savior. That's that I'm nice, Jesus. We so glad I'm nice, Jesus. Be nice now, Jesus. Be nice now. Jesus is my teddy bear. Baby, if you got Jesus as a bear, you ain't around. He's going to start as grizzly and then go crazy. God decreed before his family went into captivity, he decreed Now I'm going after all nations. And God is a great strategist. Because the strategy is, I'm not going to get caught up with one. I'm going to make sure I get the one who's going to gather it all. God is a world ruler. Whether we like it or not, and we are about to see heaven kick butt. Baby, I've been watching the angels of God falling into the planet like you would not believe it. I mean, they're coming in, and they're not coming in as those little chump, those little chubby nigga terrorists. These boys are dressed about. They're not coming with a little flutter wings. They're coming in with a sword. And they are ready to do battle. They are not playing with us. And I want you to know, you're not going to get on God's side. They will steamroll over you. God said, now it's on. And see, God likes the concept. Think about Egypt. God loves a good fight. I just said, you know, he's a man of war, but we got the Jesus in the armchair. And so, God wanted to rule the water from heaven down. But what he did was, he didn't convert Nebuchadnezzar. He just made an ally of him. He said, I'll just make him my ally because I don't want to whip me forever anyhow. I just need him to do what I want to do here, right now. So Nebuchadnezzar heard the dream and said, because see, kings always want the best of the best closest to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this, because they didn't say it.
Yeah.
He could have had anybody give them their father's name.
Yeah.
Couldn't he? Anybody could have given them their father's name.
Yeah.
But the king said, this is an important position. And since you're going to be my first contact, you're going to be my first. And you're going to be my liaison between heaven and earth, between God and men. I need to make sure you're up for the task. You know, we love to aspire to high places. And we want to bring our inspired efforts. But aspiration nor inspiration equate to excellence. Your child is just as inspired by you as your employee or employer, but that doesn't make them capable or competent. Nebuchadnezzar was very interesting because of all the things in this. This is one of the most powerful prophetic leadership lessons you'll ever get. I hope you take it seriously. Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't want anybody working in my palace who doesn't know about working for royalty. He didn't take just anybody with a prophetic gift in. He took the prophets who worked for a king. Why? Because I can fast track you by just orientating you to my kingdom. A lot of people, I'm going to minister at the White House. What you going to say? You don't know an hour a day. What you going to say? So the first thing he said is, I need to have somebody who is already doing the job on a smaller scale so that I can equip you to take on the global scale. So that's number one. See, because you all are like, everybody, I want to get there. No. You have to earn the right to play the chance. You have to earn the right to even rehearse with them, to practice with them. They don't even let you in the practice session. If I get my prayer, my wish, in this era, my wish is that we stop trying to bring God mediocrity in place of competency.
Yes.
And that we begin to know the difference. And that we begin to feel zealous for his excellence and his majesty. That we want to find our A game, bring it and play it. God did not give Daniel that position because he got an A in a class. He gave Daniel that position because he got the A at the highest level that you can attain. You realize that a kindergarten A and a university A are not the same thing, except in the church. In the church, an A is an A. After all, I got an A, you got an A, we all got an AAA. But because the world wants to know when to get that aid. Community college, Ivy League University, two different aids. Did y'all tell me? Because you're just trying to get ahead. I get that all the time. People want to come in my program. They bring me their little transcripts from so-and-so school. I'm so good. I just named it so-and-so. And I look at those subjects, and I said, they gave you an A for this. J is for Jesus. You got an A? M is for Messiah. You got an A+, huh? I don't know who to be mad at your school or you. Because we keep telling everybody if you're working for Jesus, it ought to be easy. Why? It's not easy for him. It's not easy for Jesus. And so I want you to understand, he's just so good at it, he makes it look easy. Because people who are great at what they do make it look easy. And the easier they make it look easy, you better know the harder it is. So he gave Daniel 10 times better. That's to cover every strata of divine being or divinity that Daniel had to master. Are you ready, guys? How ready are you, really? Now, I didn't ask if you're inspired. From now on, I want you to ask yourself, is this my aspiration, inspiration, or destiny? Is this my aspiration, inspiration, or my destiny? Because if it's your people treat this, when people genuinely know their destiny, they treat it very differently. And if you are, if it's your destiny, then it ought to be showing up in everywhere else. Your destiny will seep into every area of your life. I wanted you to understand why we call this the Daniel prophetic era. Because you're not going to be prophet in a world that loves Jesus Christ. You're going to have to win the land. Look, most of y'all mad. I mean, why couldn't we be like a brother? I'm the brother so-and-so. Because brother so-and-so's watch got us this. Because remember, there was a church on watch while all this was going on. And they watched it happen. Are y'all... Are you appreciating this?
Yes.
So now we're going to get to the continuum. You want to get to the continuum?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're going to cover a lot of information. You're going to be challenged. And if you don't feel challenged yet, how many feel challenged right now?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But is it a good challenge? Isn't it a sweet hug? Baby, yes. It's a sweet hug that God has to get you ready. In this whole thing, I opened the preface of this book with these words. Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes 1:9 and 3:15 provide the strongest case for God's eternal continuum, the stairway to divine revelation. In the International Standard Version of the Bible, he writes, "Whatever has happened will happen again. Whatever has been done will be done again. There is nothing new on earth. And also, that which was now is, and that which will be already is. And God examines what has already taken place." The continuum is based on the premise that there is nothing new under the sun. And that no matter how new it is to us, it is repetitious to God. God has been this way before, and before, and before, and before. The only wise God in his providence endowed Israel's third king, Solomon, with more wisdom than any other person on earth before him. Solomon's wisdom was surpassed only by God's son, Jesus Christ, when he appears on earth centuries later. Despite how jaded the king had become by the time he wrote Ecclesiastes, these two statements of wisdom say much about the Almighty's existence and expertise. He controls world events perpetually, because he mastered in his world every one of them outside of this one. God is not a novice. I know, it seems like, well, yeah, God, no. God is not a novice. God is not working this out as he goes along. He's not waking up from a man. Did you hear that CNN in my mouth? Oh, Jesus, boy, that took me by surprise. God is not shocked by how things are going. We wonder if he's going to pull it out. I intend to show you through this event that he has done already put it on. And he's done it before. And he'll do it again until the end of his age. Your attitude as a prophet, as an apostle, as a leader in general, has to be God is not shocked and God is not mocked. The Lord has done this, and your Bible has it. The greatest coup Satan pulled off was to make you think the Bible was outdated, outmoded, and overrated. And you bought into that. That's why you don't read it. That's why you don't know it. You say the Bible's just overrated. Because you haven't read the Bible. You read your pastor's sermon. You don't know what God says. Then if they're talking about, thus says the Lord. You don't know. You hope that it's God. It's a coin toss every time you prophesy. If it's God, tell me not. Because you have no way to prove that it's the word of the Lord. The early prophets didn't do that. Jesus came according to the continuum. He came according to what he had already been doing. He was not afraid because he already knew he was going. He already knew. If Jesus can stand on a planet, love this man, stand on a planet, way down the history from Moses, way down the history from Abraham, from Enoch, and all, he can stand on a planet, way down the line, and say, he already has power for. And said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. He must know something about the world that precedes this world. There had to be a reason why we walk the planet. They some devils screaming. We know you're not one of the Most High God. Have you come to torment us before our time? This Christianity that they claim was that's not Jesus. Because I want you to know when Jesus stands up, all hell fails. I don't care how you can fly through the sky like a gnat in a kite. It won't matter. We have not seen Jesus Christ. We've seen a disbelieving church. We've seen an adulterous wife. We've seen disloyal ministers. And we've seen inferiority complexes wearing clergy collars. But we've not seen Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is a problem, which is why they keep trying to undo him. He's a problem. Jesus is not going to be the one that's going to make nice in the playground of God. He's just not going to do it. He's going to rule the playground, or there's not going to be a playground. It's not going to be one. It's not going to be a playground, you know? They're like, wasn't there a school there yesterday? Tree did not feed him. The man was hungry. Tree wouldn't feed him. The thing is like, I don't grow for next month. What are you talking about? Jesus said, you grow when I said. If I showed up, you should have had fish. Because my father sent down an issue and eat it from heaven, so when I get there, y'all deliver. I am providence. How are you not going to provide for me? Got so mad at the tree, he said, you die. You can't feed your maker, you can't live. I don't care about whether it's a season for fish. I am the season. Talk about being the reason for the season. I'm hungry. But right now, we're not there. You knew I was coming, you should have grown some things. I changed the season, everything else around you has grown by you better. You know he's a sugar. He's a sugar by Jesus. So he's not going to elevate life in the playground of God. We put Jesus in the temple with Jacob. He beat up all God. He was so mad, so mad, they put him out. Get out. The man got a spell from temple. Everybody talking about Jesus is a spell. Man, I'm telling you, if he was a real natural kid, his father would have a fit. Can't keep you in school, huh? And he's put out singing to you, fall out. Just like it's not enough. Do you know your God? See, you don't even know him like that. Because you're too busy dealing with that guy that they peddle to you in 2 hours of church service once a week. What does Jesus do when he's not in church? Isn't that what we need to know? Your job as a prophet, your job as an apostle is to tell the world what Jesus does when he's not in church. You got everybody in the church 24/7. No, but what is he doing when he's not in church? Because that's your salvation. That is Christianity. Church is your weekly visit home. I go have dinner with the family. You part of the family of God, you go to church weekly to have dinner, fellowship with the family. But every day you're living in the world. Jesus is not locked at the table. He's not locked in an armchair. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to know why God let it happen? God's question to you is, why did you let it happen? Don't ask me. He said, but we worked it out. We worked it out. Revelation 12:12, woe to the earth. Because the devil will come down to you. We kicked him out. You're his destination. And he hot. Because he can't move in superpower any longer. So they got rid of that problem. They just sent it up. We want to thank them for that. We want to write a letter. Everybody want to write a letter. What were y'all thinking? You know we got clay? We mortal. Why would you do that? Why would you send this creature down here that already told so many planets? Why would you do that? You notice he did not send the devil. He did not release him on you until Jesus changed us. So, because he said, but you shall rule over him. Cain had the power to rule over the serpent. Sin lies at your door, but you should rule over it. And Cain immediately went out and killed his brother. Isn't that powerful? Immediately. You should rule over sin. Really? Okay, let me kill my brother. That's a good way to prove your conquest. But God feels two things he wants you to know. Whatever he was in heaven, he ain't no more. And listen, I can say he isn't, but I'm going to go back to my North roots. You know, I'm born from Newark, New Jersey. He ain't no more. Whatever powers he had, apparently, he doesn't have them anymore. Which is why it's a fair fight. You upgraded to Christ, he downgraded to you. It's a fair fight. But we got to teach you. And as long as we have people teaching the Bible their way, you will never grow. Isn't that powerful? See, our job, my job, is to make you know the power that worketh in you. People can read their Bible, they can lie about it, they can destroy it, they can pervert it and label it, but that you did not get saved because the words on a page. You got saved by the Holy Ghost, and the power that works in you is the power that works in you from the devil, and the power from the Son, and the power from the Son of the Holy. He will stop it for the world forever. My job is not to make you saved or anything because I already got God got you there. My job is to show you the power that worketh in you and the world that it can create. That's my job. Walking around here, he's knocking over somebody who couldn't even win it over. Let's look at the screen. Y'all ready to go to the screen? The 14 events continuum is the name of this session. The theme of this forum. And it's going to be a theme for a long time because this is not a message, it's a move. I want you to know that it's not a message, it's a move. Because everywhere I preach it, people move into a new place. They move out in power. They move out in God. So this is not, you're not going to hear, oh, Dr. Price has a new message. No, I don't. I got to move. And trust me, when you hear this, it's going to move you. It's based on Matthew 1:17. So you understand how we talk. The 14 events based on Matthew 1:17. So we're all clear on that one. Just so you know the scripture friends. Why is this essential? Numa education. What makes it essential? Okay? Because it's what all ministers must learn to serve. That was great. What all ministers must learn to serve. The purpose of the continuum is to teach you how God measures and approves a preacher. You measure and approve them by the anointing. This is so anointed. God just didn't do anointing. How is that bearing fruit to God? If you can't tell me how that anointing is bearing quantifiable and qualifiable fruit, it doesn't matter. Because everything on the planet is anointed. The God who chose from the power was anointed to be chosen by you. That's why that dog stood out to you. The same reason that you say you love that preacher, the same reason you chose that dog. My preacher's so hard. And know what you did? You chose your animal because he touched your heart. Out of all of the people that were there, that one just spoke to me. And you use the same criteria to measure a preacher. It doesn't matter if they know the Bible, don't know the Bible. Half of y'all, if he doesn't know the Bible, you won't know. Because you don't know. He doesn't know, you don't know. Who knows? Isn't that the truth? You know, I mean, all this is the people quote scripture all backwards. Do you know how long we spoke that we see you forever long? And God has given some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Is that what it says? I'm feeling the print wrong. You don't even know how to measure it. We can't get tricked wrong. And it says that God has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The first three are on the right. The last two are in the house. I mean, the pastors just completely put themselves way over everybody. We eliminate the first two, but they don't count. And so we start with the pastors. That's not in the Bible, but because we don't read it, we can't eat it. Think about how many scriptures we give off. Try to fear by the Spirit. Say that. That's a verse of which I knew. Chapter, I can't get it. Verse, I wish I knew. That is not in there. And we have a whole thing. We had a whole discussion with somebody once. You know, Jesus is the second man. That's not in the Bible. So Jesus is a man. Last is the second. Second gives place to a third. Last is the goal. Y'all getting anything? Now the prophets get it wrong, and y'all supposed to be vessels of blood and purveyors of God's word. How in the world can the sheep get it right? Think about how many scriptures we get off because somebody wanted to simplify it for the simple. A lot of the scriptures are wrong because somebody simplified it for the simple. Even the Ten Commandments that we have on the, that we put up everywhere, they're wrong. They don't say, they say a lot more than what we did. You need to know that. You cannot obey God beyond what you know about God. And what you cannot judge for God beyond what you know to be God. And you only know God by His Holy Spirit, clarification of His word. The one reason that we were able to follow in the church is because we started teaching Jesus and the New Testament. That end. I want you to understand that when we were, when the church was born, there was no New Testament. We got born on the Old Testament. Then we got born again on the Old Testament. Jesus came to the planet and He preached the prophets. Because there ain't no only New Testament in the God. There is natural and eternal Israel. Old covenant, new covenant. Moses, Christ. There was no testament. You realize that we walk around here talking about we just do the New Testament. Are you kidding me? You can't even do the New Testament until you know the Old. Somebody, you, just because you know they can tell you what the Beatitudes are, I can't tell you where Abraham is. Who's Melchizedek? Man, what? Jesus came and preached the entire Old Testament. And in my book, the continuum, you see how nice it's nice it reads. You all gonna love this. He preached what He had already been saying and what heaven had already been living. So let's say that again, it's a powerful word. Jesus preached what He had already been saying and what heaven had already been living. And your life has got to align not with the earth, but with heaven. Because you were born again, chosen to be born again before the foundation of the world, which means you need to know before information in order for you to call it quality revelation. Why you should know this material as a Christian? Stay. Reasons for this teaching. Number one, to reconnect the Christian church to God's truth. Number two, to reconnect its leaders and teachers to His eternal root. Your top root is not up. Your top root is not easy. You know, you have a lot of preachers that Jesus died to take you back to, back to Adam. No, He didn't, because Adam fell. So why would He want to take you back to His small Adam? That's why we have the last Adam. He died and rose again to take you back to Himself. Adam was purposely in that garden to see if people can live with just a soul. I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to leave you lingering on this. Dangle. To unveil the eternal roots that brought Christians and Christianity into existence. Christianity is not a world religion because it did not begin in the world. It is the only one that did not begin in the world. Christianity predates the world. If the world is 4 billion years old, we are older than that. Because the Bible said God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before there was a witch, there was a Christ. Before there was a devil, there was a Christ. Before there was your high school, there were your kids and your Lord. Now We cannot walk according to their standards because we are not a philosophy. We are not a doctrine. We are eternally in the now. You're not going to find Jesus everywhere. God was so smart, he didn't put himself anywhere else. You know why he couldn't put himself anywhere else in the world of the Bible? Because every other Bible and every other sacred text was about another God, and Jesus had to boil principalities and powers. He dethroned them. You are old. That's when you got born again, you suddenly felt like you've been around forever, didn't you? You felt that, man, I feel like I'm eternal. I feel like I've always been. Yeah, you have always been. In Jesus, hiding in the Holy Ghost, can your spirit find your soul? Yeah, you better pray because you know he did. Told you, now you know why he's a sugar pie. He's a sweet man. He's a God man. And I want you to understand, Jesus did not come to earth to get you. He had you all along. He came to earth to get the rest of you. Because what Adam lost in the garden was your soul. Your spirit was never in the contest. Your eternal self was never in the contest. Never in the contest. God made man. He formed man of the dust of the earth. And then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. Because your spirit was secure in the vault of eternity. Because he loves me. That is how you know. Nobody can get saved on earth that wasn't in him in eternity. So Judah, he comes to the planet and he said, did I not choose 12 of you and one of you is the devil? Why I lost none except the son of perdition. Why? Because he wasn't in me when I got here. You can't get lost if you travel from heaven with him to the cross. To hell, back again, you cannot get lost, and nobody can jump in. We teach it that God wants all the world saved. No, he doesn't. He knows all the world does not belong to him. He's really good. He doesn't want another God kid. He just wants those that belong to him. Well, that's good, isn't it? See, you don't know your faith. That's why you can't defend it. If you read the Bible, then you see some of this stuff. But I said, like, I'm on the continuum to guide you through these revelations. To identify the most significant event that birthed Jesus Christ and his church in this world. The church existed before the world began. I can prove it. The Church of Jesus, every other religion born from Cain. Every other religion born from Cain. Egypt, Babylon, Asia. Those all began on earth. You are the only one that came to earth to correct the talk. The prophets, apostles, you should know this. You know, the reason we have crazy doctrine is because we have doctrine that's outside the continuum. When you jump out of the continuum, you create a new continuum. You break the link. We're going to reconnect this thing. Is this worth the cost?
Yes.
Was it worth your registration and your trip?
Yes.
To manifest the continuum from heaven to earth. To heaven. This did not begin on earth. Eden did not begin on earth. None of that stuff that we are laying claim to began on earth, which is why mortals can't judge it, mortals can't predict it, and mortals can't wrap it up, because the immortals began it. God's eternal continuum unravels Matthew 1:17 and traces the Messiah's lineage and triumph from Abraham to David to Christ. This book explores the importance of tracking Jesus, the promised King of Kings, from Abraham to David. Matthew writes, so all of the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon until Christ, 14 generations. Summing up his genealogy from Abraham, Romans 4, heirs of the world, summing up his genealogy from Abraham to King David, the Messiah's royal progenitor, to Babylon, the exile, the indicated by Nebuchadnezzar, because God sent him to devastate his people, Matthew traces it all the way down to Christ. He didn't start it easy, though. He did not start it easy. Why didn't he start it easy? Because in Eden, we have Adam, we have Eve, we have the serpent, we have Cain, we have Abel. Neither one of those two seeds made it in the eternal book like that. Abel did, Cain didn't. God wrote Cain out because he sent him out, so he wrote him out. But when he said, when God tracked the genealogies, he said, and Adam begot a son in his own image and according to his own likeness and called his name, what? What, prophet? Seth. He totally excises Cain and Abel from Adam's genealogy. And he said, Seth is when they began to call on the name of the Lord. And so God tracks him from Seth. Why? Because Seth is the son of Adam's mortality. Abel was the sacrifice. Cain was the sacrifice. Cain was sacrificed to the wicked one at the firstborn, because Cain being dubbed of the wicked one proves that Adam changed his God. So Cain no longer belonged to the Most High God. He belonged to the wicked one. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's in the word. It's in the word. I'm not making it up, is it? And so Abel was the sacrifice, meant to be the sacrifice. We don't find out till we get down to Luke chapter 11 that Cain really killed Abel, because Abel was the priest and the prophet of the community. The first blood shed was not just Abel, the younger brother. The first blood shed was a prophet. Y'all flowing with me yet?
Yeah.
I told you, this is not a preach-a-thon. I intend to empower you, because knowledge is power. Cain, anybody ever wonder why Abel knew the right thing to bring and Cain didn't? If Abel's the younger brother, why does he get it right? And the older brother can't get a clue. Cain is he's a naturist. He's a naturalist. His religion was nature. And you see him all the way down the line, where it's all about nature for all of the folks who are mad with God. Mother nature, worship nature, solstice, olstice, bolstice, gnostice, we don't know, hallelujah, God bless him, glory to Jesus, we don't know what it is. Abel knew what pleased God, because Abel was the prophet. The first prophet in creation is right outside of Eden. The fact that God needed a prophet, he didn't need it before they fell, but once they fell, he needed a prophet, and he didn't choose Adam. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know your history?
Yes.
You can't appreciate your destiny until you know your history.
Yes.
So the only profession outside of farming is a prophetic. Not about the future.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299. 419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.